Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day. Thanks for kicking it off with us at WFHR. Got lost in the music for a second there.
That's all right.
Got your host, James, behind the mic. That voice over there is our good friend, Seth Haphacker.
Good morning.
And we got the best listeners in radio joining us. Thanks so much for being here, everybody. Seth and I are getting some entertainment news in a little bit. We will also be touching on the worst movies that have made a lot of money. And the cars with the fewest issues and the ones with the most.
It's okay, all get ready to write those down, yeah.
We kick off our Thursday the way we like to around here with our Pet of the Week from the Southwick County Humane Society. We got Denise with us today. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you? Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Thanks so much for being here. We appreciate you. Well, before we get to our Pet of the Week and get to ramble about dogs and cats and all these things that we love, I wanted to get an update how things are going over at the shop. How is the construction coming along?
Fantastic. Our new front area is almost complete. They're insulating. They're putting lights in. It's really coming to life, and it's exciting. We're close, very close to having a new reception area.
Nice.
Yeah.
I mean this with a little bit of fun, but also a little bit of seriousness, too, like anything I say almost. I don't know why I had to explain that. How are the animals doing with all of this?
It's been rough, especially for the dogs. We don't have a lot of cats, and we're able to keep the cats more because the entryway is much closer to the dog room than it is cats, and the dogs are kind of suffering a bit, so we're trying to have more social time with them, more walks, more activities for them to take their minds off the stress.
Is there a way that, and we always look for this as well, of ways we can help with that?
Volunteers can come and socialize cats anytime they want, and that it's well appreciated. The dogs are a little difficult. We have a collection of dogs right now that are, a little afraid, more so than usual with the construction, so we're not letting the general public socialize with dogs right now. We will very soon. That'll be coming, but if you're an approved volunteer, you might be able to walk a dog for us, but there's training involved as opposed to the cat room where you can just come in and grab a cat and go in one of the meet and greet rooms.
I got an idea. Let's adopt all the dogs. We can just get them out of there.
Perfect. I like that. I'm on board with that.
Let's try to do that, everybody. And in all seriousness, when we are able to help, we will let you guys know. Denise will let us know when we can open it up a little bit more and everything. Yes. We're really looking forward to that.
Yeah, me too.
I bring this up in part because of especially to other animal owners out there, of understanding that we don't always understand what an animal's going through.
Very true.
And while it's kind of funny, this happens a lot with animals where we're trying to do something good for them, and yet they don't handle it very well because they don't understand that. They don't. It's not to their fault or anything like that. It's just kind of, I think the more we understand it, the better we can be with them.
Absolutely. We can react and act and be preventive of the things that they're going through if we can. We have a great kennel manager, and she works with the dogs every day to make things easier on them.
We like to shout out the entire team over there and everybody doing such great work for our community. We greatly appreciate that. Also wanted to mention that you guys got something else that we were going to touch on too.
Denise. Yep. Our membership drive for 2025 was a little late this year, but it is up and running on Facebook and our webpage. You can stop into $30. You get a membership card, which has many discounts from area businesses that support us. Stop in and pick one up or give us a call and we'll get one to you.
Please do that, everybody. Not only are you going to get all those benefits and those deals and everything, but you are also showing the Humane Society how much they mean to us your support to them and an investment in them.
Absolutely.
I know the word we tend to use is donation. I look at these as investments. And in this day and age where you want to get your money back on your investment, right?
Absolutely.
I can guarantee you get your money back on this investment and tenfold, if that.
Yes.
That's a pretty good deal right there. And certainly wanted to mention as well our Pet of the Week.
Yes, we're going to go with Thomas this week.
Thomas?
Yeah, Thomas is a black German Shepherd. He's about 7 years old, so he's getting up there in his age. He's got several years left. He's very sweet, very calm, walks well on a leash. He just, because he's black, probably he's been overlooked, not quite sure, but he's a lover. If you are interested in Thomas, he's a big dog. He's a little bit bigger than your normal black or normal German Shepherd,
yeah.
But he's a lover. He's a sweetheart.
This is one of the more confusing things to me when I, because I came late to animals, and I came, you know, working in shelters and those things, which later life, my mid-20s and some of that. And the idea, I remember hearing the stat that animals with a black fur tended to be adopted the least.
True.
It wasn't just black cats, but black dogs as well.
Absolutely.
And I've never understood this.
I know, it's so weird.
I will say, for one, I'll be, admittedly, I think that it's, I've never seen a bad or a non-beautiful black coat.
True.
Like, they always look just great, that color, everything. But it's also just kind of like, I mean, an animal's an animal. Like, there's not a human being that has ever been born that chose the color of their skin.
Absolutely.
Like, none of us get to pick this stuff. You think I'm going to pick this color? Like, come on. Like, I don't even know what I am. Off beige? I don't know what I am. These animals are no different. And it makes it just as much sense that their fur, this would not play into it whatsoever.
Right.
I hope that we could see, at least I keep hoping to see this trend of us pushing back on that. My mother is a little superstitious, and I've always found this very fascinating because she's the smartest human being I've ever known. And I find, that's so illogical. How could you be? But it just makes it sense for her. Let's push back on those stereotypes, those kind of traditions and stuff, and adopt some of these animals. Thomas is a great start.
Agreed.
He is a beautiful German Shepherd mix, 7 years old, and it looks like he has his shots, his microchip and everything.
Correct. Yep. Neutered, ready to go. He's ready for a family, and he is good around other dogs, too. He just needs a meet and greet introduction.
Mm-hmm. Learn about Thomas and find out more of ways that you can impact your community and help our Humane Society by going to their website, swchs.com, and find out more there. Denise, always good hanging out with you and talking to you. Thank you so much for the time.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Say hi to the team over there and all those amazing furry animals for us.
Will do. Happy birthday.
Thank you.
I got it in there.
That was good. That was well. That was sneaky. That was good.
I heard it earlier. I was like,
Nicely done. Join our friends over at the Humane Society. Keep in mind, you can email them office@swchs.com. You can also give them a call, 715-423-0505. That is 423-0505. Be sure to find them on social media. Share their posts on your page. You just never know who might see it otherwise. Mm-hmm. And keep in mind, they are located at 3621 64th Street North, right here in Wisconsin Rapids. We'll be back with more fun coming up on The Morning Show here at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning Show at WFHR. Seth and James hanging out with you. We hope you're having a great Friday Eve out there. Mm-hmm. Happy Thursday, everybody. Want to send a big shout out to Denise and Thomas and all of our friends over at the Southwood County Humane Society.
Absolutely.
Thomas, our pet of the week. Be sure to check him out and all the great pets over there. It's swchs.com, swchs.com. Maybe you'll be able to celebrate National Love Your Pet Day.
Hey.
Get on over.
Do it for the first time, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah. We take a look at some entertainment news now. And boy, you know, Sharon Osbourne is one of the strongest women in entertainment history.
Out of necessity.
100%. Exactly. Yes. Her story alone is interesting, let alone you tie it in with her husband, Ozzy Osbourne.
Mm-hmm.
They're fascinating, interesting people. They really, really are. For everything that we have seen Ozzy do or get in trouble with or et cetera, et cetera,
right.
There's hundreds of things that he was going to do that she stopped him from doing. But those are usually bad, negative things.
Right.
What is interesting is this one right here. Okay. Sharon Osbourne robbed the world of the possibility of witnessing Captain Ozzy.
Huh?
She says he was offered an audition for Pirates of the Caribbean, but she said no. Quote, she says it's the biggest mistake she's ever made with him. Quote, wouldn't he have been perfect? Johnny wanted Keith to be a pirate, remember?
Right.
Of course, we all know Keith played Johnny's dad, and very well, by the way.
He did an excellent job.
Best. Keith Richards hasn't done a ton of acting.
Not very little.
Mick Jagger has.
Yes.
And Mick Jagger is a fine thespian, fine actor.
Does a good job.
I would have no problem, casting him or working with him or something like that. I think he's a fine actor. I didn't think that Keith Richards had a bone in it, including this past Saturday Night Live episode, the 50-year special,
right,
where Keith Richards showed up and he just kind of like, you know, and he said something. He said his line, but, you know, you could tell it was Keith Richards.
He was just kind of doing his thing. Yeah.
He wasn't phoning it in. This is just who he is.
Keith Richards, yeah.
Unless he's playing guitar, you're not going to get 100% of him on most things.
He's even in interviews, he seems uncomfortable, you know, without the music of the guitar in his hand, yeah.
It's, you may not see this, and I didn't mean to do this, but I went looking at all these interviews and stuff. I was actually looking at interviewers, and Dick Cavett, one of them.
Oh, wow.
That I never really looked at much, and looking at his old interviews. And his tone and his demeanor, yet the interview, the people he'd be interviewing, like, couldn't be more, you know, professional and all that. But yet he's sitting there with Jimi Hendrix sitting across from him, couldn't be more not in a shot, just Jimmy was Jimmy.
Yeah, exactly.
He's interviewing him, and he's interviewing Keith Richards, and Keith Richards and Jimi Hendrix almost identical in the answers and their demeanor and the way they carried themselves and the way that they just would push back. Dick Cavett said to Jimi Hendrix, "How does it feel to be maybe the greatest guitar player in the world?" And Jimi Hendrix, "I don't know about that. Maybe just in this room. You know what? How about just the greatest guitar player in this chair?" And then wanted to move on.
Like, Keith
Richards is very much the same way.
Right.
But he's also did a great job as Jack.
Jack Sparrow's dad, yeah.
So Sharon didn't say if that was the role Ozzy could have played or if it was a different character. It was a different character.
Yeah, right.
It was a completely different character that they'd actually got rid of once they knew that they couldn't get Ozzy in on it.
Oh, man. He would have been... I think even if it was a small part, it would have been a great cameo. I mean, just him doing the mumble thing, you know, it'd be hilarious. Oh, gosh.
I don't know this for a fact. I only know a couple of details from people that I've reached out to and everything. And one of the details was that it was in the final Caribbeans movie that Keith Richards was in.
Mm.
And so this part I can't prove, but I love the idea of Keith being Jack's dad and Ozzy was like his uncle.
Yeah, exactly. You
know? Like something like that.
That would be funny.
But I actually find this kind of interesting because we famously, many people, especially now, have heard that Will Smith was offered the role of Neo. Mm-hmm. That was their first choice, and he turned it down. Mm-hmm. I find it interesting when actors own up to these things. There's only one way we ever find out about this if they share it.
Exactly, because we don't, or and someone writes a book later about it, you know, like, oh, hey, guess who was up for the role for what? And it happens all the time.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Just about every movie out there, the bigger movies, it's got, at one point, it's attached to this actor and this director, and then it changes, and there's turnover, and then, you know, all this stuff happens, and finally you end up with what you got.
Yeah, it's interesting.
It's fascinating.
82-year-old Harrison Ford is quite the natural at horseback riding.
Mm-hmm.
You could see him in action on Yellowstone's spinoff 1923 when it returned Sunday on season 2 on Paramount Plus.
Mm-hmm.
He says the demands of being on the show aren't as daunting as they look. Quote, maybe from a contemporary point of view, the horses represent something, some special skill or danger, but they really are not. Quote, I spent half an hour on a horse, and from a contemporary point of view, you look at that and say, whoa, people used to do that, but it really is not that difficult. Helen Mirren, who plays his on-screen wife, disagrees and says he's a great rider. Quote, I was incredibly impressed, I have to say, with watching him gallop across the Montana hillside.
Mm.
I still haven't gotten to see this show. I don't have an interest in the Yellowstone stuff. I watched a little bit of it. I'm like, oh my God, this is some of the horror. Like, I don't understand how it got so popular. I'll just be honest. The writing on it feels like writers who couldn't make it doing soap operas.
Right.
It really does feel that. And I'm not trying to be a jerk. Like what you like. Who cares what I think?
Right.
But I did give it a shot because of the uprise of how popular that show was. Sure. And then I'm like, okay, the actors don't even believe this.
Yeah.
Like, it didn't feel like one of the actors were even trying.
Supposedly, it's the one dude who writes everything, and that might be the problem.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you can only do so much, but...
But I do really want to give this a shot. I mean, Harrison Ford and Helen Mirren.
And two... Oh, man. I mean, Helen Mirren speaks for... Both of them basically speak for themselves. I have found it interesting that more recently Harrison Ford's been more open and talking more with stuff. Because he was basically a guarded guy, you know, through most of his career. He's private. You know, he kept his private life pretty private and that sort of thing. But now he's getting older and he's starting to talk more. And he's got some really interesting things to say. He's a very thoughtful person, you know. And, of course, you know, him deflecting the you know, like, oh, you're a good writer. Well, you know, that kind of, that's very much in his wheelhouse. He's never been a guy. He doesn't take a compliment very well either.
No.
He's really – he struggles with that.
Chicago's own, by the way, Harrison Ford. Rippin's own, I should say.
Yeah, he was just to Rippin for a while.
This is one of those situations too where I think that they're both right. Like what Harrison's saying, if you are comfortable, if you trust the horse, if you build a just even, and it doesn't take a lot of time sometimes, but if you just make a connection with that horse, you're petting it, you're making eye contact with it, riding that horse, it is, there's literally nothing like it on the planet. You can. I love riding by train. I think like a lot of people out there, like a Sunday drive. Like I don't have to be there that fast, so I can take my time.
Yeah.
You know, I like flying. I think flying's fun. There's so many great ways to travel. There is nothing in the universe like when a horse trusts you, and you have that trust, and you can go. The feeling of it is indescribable. There's nothing like it. It's just amazing.
I'll take your word for it.
I love horses. I love horses. I love riding on horses, man.
And to your point, Harrison Ford's been doing it now. And, I mean, he's been in so many movies where he's ridden horses. But I think above and beyond that, he's been a rider his whole life since he's been able to. He enjoys it kind of thing. So, yeah.
And now an interesting one. Just because a movie makes money at the box office doesn't mean it's good. People are voting on Ranker.com for the worst movies that made at least $1 billion.
Okay.
Your audience couldn't see me putting my finger to my head during the little, Dr. Evil thing.
Dr. Evil.
It doesn't really work in audio. It doesn't work. The polling isn't open to all billion-dollar movies, just the ones that with bad Rotten Tomato scores.
Okay, so we do have some guidelines. All right.
And I think there's two side stories here there. One, just I'm seeing some on here that I didn't know had bad Rotten Tomato scores.
Oh, okay. Well, that's interesting, yeah.
And, of course, this is all subjective. There is no such thing as a good or a bad movie. It is all opinion.
It is.
It is all opinion, and your opinion is valid, whatever it is.
Man, some of the worst-made films are also the most entertaining out there. There is no, like, real benchmark, seriously.
I don't care what anybody says. I will love the original Popeye movie my whole life.
Exactly.
Is it a good movie? No. Is the movie Toys with Robin Williams good? No. But I love that movie. Yes.
You can even admit, like you're doing right now, it's not necessarily a good movie, but, man, do I love it. It's fun. It's entertaining.
Can't get enough of it.
Yep.
The Lion King is number one on this list. The live-action Lion King.
Oh, okay.
It grossed $1.7 billion, but has a Rotten Tomato score of 51%.
Wow. And I think to be considered fresh, it's got to be like, what, 70 or something like that?
Star Wars Episode IX, The Rise of Skywalker, I believe the final one in that most recent three-parter.
Yes, correct.
It grossed $1.1 billion.
Oh, yeah.
But had a Rotten Tomato score also of 51%.
Okay, which is actually a little bit higher than I thought it would
be.
It was really panned when it came out, but
well, this is the thing about any of these movies, whether you're talking Star Wars or any of these gigantic things, you're at this point in time, people are over. Oh, something new. Now they just want to tear it down. It doesn't stop them from seeing it, though.
No, that's the point.
So if you really want action with your words, the quickest way to make that happen is with your wallet. The famous quote that Tony Kornheiser quotes all the time, all your answers end with money.
Yeah. Follow where the money is, right?
I talk about this with sports all the time. If you're frustrated with the Milwaukee Brewers not opening up their paycheck, you got to stop going to games. You got to stop giving them money. I don't like it any more than you guys do out there, but this is the way you get heard. You can sign petitions. You can go ahead and protest all you want. But at the end of the day, these millionaires, the only thing they hear is money.
So there's a reason they're billionaires.
So when the new Star Wars movie comes out and all those people out there want to shred it, they're all also going to go see it. So they're not hearing you.
Hence $1.7 billion or whatever, yeah.
They genuinely couldn't care less if you like or don't like it. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing with owners. They don't care if you show up or not. If you show up and you don't like the game,
right, or if the team is bad, it doesn't matter. As long as people are coming, they're going to be like, who cares, right?
Did they get your money?
Yeah.
That's the
important thing.
End of the conversation for them. They could care. I don't like the team. Blah, blah, blah. I signed the petition with thousands of names. Did you pay for your ticket to come in here? Thank you.
Well, there you go. Have a good day. Exactly.
You really want to be heard. That's how you get heard. If you're not, you got really nobody to complain about. Like, you're still giving them money. Like, mm-hmm. that's kind of, you know, it seems self-explanatory. Jurassic World Dominion, it grossed $1 billion. Rotten Tomatoes score 29%.
Oh, wow.
Didn't see that.
Whew.
Aladdin, the live-action one, grossed $1.1 billion. Had a Rotten Tomatoes score of 51.
Okay. I'm seeing a pattern here.
And you're going to see a real one coming up. So we'll just go through some of these. Transformers, Age of Extinction, Jurassic World, Fallen Kingdom, and Transformers Dark of the Moon. All $1.1 or $1.3 billion grosses. Okay. And none of them had a higher score than 40%.
Wow.
And this is just, again, we're seeing remakes. We're seeing sequels.
Sequels, yeah.
Mm-hmm. A lot.
IP. IP is what it is, right? Yes. Intellectual property. That's the important thing here, yes.
Alice in Wonderland grossed $1 billion, had a Rotten Tomato score of 59%.
Okay, that's a little bit higher, but yeah.
Minions, $1.2 billion, 55% Rotten Tomato.
Yep.
Super Mario.
Don't tell my son that. He loved that movie. Yeah, exactly.
My grandchildren. Yep. Not grandchildren. My nephews
yes,
as well. Yep. I have one grandchild.
I was going to say, how old are you again?
Yeah, getting my age of myself here. On the day that I'm aging.
Yes.
Pirates of the Caribbean on Stranger Tides, $1 billion for that, 32 Rotten Tomato score.
Oof.
And Star Wars Episode I, The Phantom Menace, $1 billion, Rotten Tomato score of 53. Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Man's Chest, $1.1 billion, Rotten Tomato score of 53.
Mm-hmm.
And The Hobbit, An Unexpected Journey, grossed $1 billion and with a Rotten Tomato score of 64%.
Yes. Ugh. Man, so it's fascinating. These are, like you said, I mean, granted, there's a reason these movies made $1 billion. These are well-known properties, right? Now some of them, you know, might have taken a little while to get there. Transformers, you know, it was a toy, back in the 80s. Yeah. I mean, cartoon show, right? So I guess that none of that makes sense. I want to push back a little bit on aggregator sites like Rotten Tomatoes. To me, those are they don't tell you anything.
Yeah.
They really don't do well for your own, you know, what should I be seeing? You know, what is everyone else like? You know, well, you could, and there, I mean, you can even see, you know, there's critic scores, but then there's audience scores, right? And sometimes those are wildly different from each other.
Mm-hmm.
The best advice I ever heard was find a film critic that has the closest taste to your taste. And that's a good, I mean, it's not always going to be the same, but it's a good bellwether of whether or not you're going to like the movie or not. Just find one or two that's like, well, I agree with most of, you know, I saw the movie, and then, yep, I agree. Those are probably your best bets when it comes to film criticism.
I did that when I was a kid. I felt that way about Siskel and Ebert.
Mm.
It would depend on the movie, but one of them would have the same feeling or thought that I had. It just depended on which movie one of them had to, you know.
Right, exactly.
I really enjoyed those guys.
Mm-hmm.
I think that just piggybacking on what Seth's saying there, that critic might not be a paid movie critic. It might be somebody close to you, a friend, a
absolutely.
Family member, somebody that you just share a lot in common with.
Exactly.
With movies. I think that that's a great note.
That's your best bet, usually.
I thought it would be fun to look at the biggest box office flops of all time.
I love it. Some of my favorite stuff.
Waterworld, of course, is way up there, along with Battleship. More recent movies, Joker, the sequel to Joker, mm-hmm. Is up there as well. Sinbad, Legend of the Seven Seas from 2003.
I don't even remember that.
Now, this one's interesting to me because it was only about a $60 million budget. But worldwide grossed $80 million, and total $125 million. So a $207 million loss given to adjustment for inflation.
Ooh.
Cutthroat Island from 1995, one of the more famous box office flops
of all time. Wow, I remember that one.
This is part of the reason why you didn't see pirate movies until Pirates of the Caribbean.
Exactly.
They were
freaked out. They're like, nope, can't do pirate movies anymore. Yep.
It's so weird to think this and everything, but Gina Davis had such a strong career, and this like set her back a notch.
Matthew Modine, it killed his career.
Killed his career. Yeah.
Totally stopped it like dead stop. Boom.
Yeah. That one lost about $210 million. Mortal Engines, which I actually really liked. I thought it was actually not a bad movie. I thought it was all right. The 13th Warrior, I never did see that from 1999 to Antonio Banderas.
I remember when it came out. Of course, I've never seen it either, but yes.
I did mean to, though. I just never got a chance to. Second most recent movie, The Marvels from 2023. It had net production of $270 million, only grossed $206 million. So that one lost quite a bit of money.
That actually lost quite a bit of money. And real quick, for people who don't know, usually when they give you the budget of what it costs, that's just the production cost. They don't give the marketing, and it's usually double. So it's like this, you take the same amount for, so like it's a $150 million film to make, add on another $150 million for marketing stuff, and then after you go past that number, then you're starting to look at profits, otherwise, or even break even. Otherwise, it's a loss.
And you're not getting a lot of the context with some of these either.
It's true.
Cutthroat Island was marketed horribly.
They did a poor job with that one.
Really bad job.
Because it was made by a really fly-by-night production company that didn't really know what they were doing. I remember reading something about it.
The script for every one of these movies, I know for a fact in some and others, I can just promise you, I can guarantee I'll put my name on it,
right.
Changed 18 times while they were on set.
How many writers? 12 writers had to rework it. Yeah.
And here's the thing. They fire some writers, bring on new ones. So they're trying to reimagine it and do it differently when it was already built by another writer and another writer's vision.
Exactly.
So you're mashing visions. It never works out. I don't know what they're thinking. I just would stop production. Just cut your losses. But with the Marvels, there was the superhero hangover by the time that one came
around. Right, and there was also the issue with basing too much of it on the TV show,
yeah,
which a lot of people hadn't seen, and they were very confused, which, again, that was a mistake. Yep.
I kind of enjoyed it, though. I liked it.
I watched the TV show, so I kind of knew what was going on.
Yeah. And then your top two, The Lone Ranger from 2013.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, yeah. That had a lot of problems with it.
A lot of problems with that one.
Yeah. That bombed really bad. And then, of course, probably the most famous bomb. I think Waterworld is probably the biggest, most famous bomb in history.
It got a lot of press.
For kids of our generation, maybe Ishtar. Maybe you might remember that one. That's a pretty deep cut.
Yeah, it's very deep, yes.
And it didn't have nearly the budget that any of these other movies did. It was mostly a flop because nobody felt those actors could fail.
Right.
And it did.
And it just didn't work out. Although the film has been reassessed, and there's not too bad stuff in there.
Oh,
there's people who say it's not really that bad.
Yeah, I would not put it in the top 10 of the worst movies I've ever seen. But it wasn't great either.
No.
John Carter from 2012. Mm. The movie that completely changed Disney.
I was just going to say that. That caused the pivot to buying Marvel, buying Star Wars. They did not. They're like, we can't start our own IP anymore, which is what they were trying to do with John Carter, which, how do you mess up John Carter?
How do you mess this up?
It's been like one of the most popular franchises since the 20s when Edgar Rice Burroughs was writing the novels.
The one thing that we mentioned with all of these movies that this one has that didn't is a built-in fan base.
Yes.
Now, the Marvels did to a degree, certainly, and the Joker does to a degree as well, but they also, to your point, went in different directions.
They did.
That your diehard fans or your typical, or your everyday fans.
Yeah, casual fans,
didn't catch up with.
Yep.
But to your point, John Carter's been around for decades.
Yeah, almost 100, over 100 years now, yeah.
I remember the build-up to that movie and seeing people talk about how they waited their whole lives for this.
Yes.
And I don't know if it's the expectation or some of those factors, but they spent $263 million on that movie.
Wow.
And it barely grossed 112.
I mean, that's a mega bomb right there.
A $265 million box office bomb. And now you're thinking out there, even before Marvel and ESPN and some of these other properties that Disney has bought, they got the money. This isn't going to hurt Disney. They could just keep rolling. They may be the only company that could have taken a $265 million hit and keep rolling like you didn't feel it.
But,
like just like a bug hitting your windshield. But they don't have this happen. This doesn't happen to Disney.
Nope.
And man, did heads roll.
Yes.
They brought Iger back. They got rid of Iger,
it was just
brought him back.
It was a fiasco, yeah.
And again, everything Seth laid out perfectly. I would only add ESPN to that.
True, yes.
They realized right away, if I can't make it myself, I'm going to buy it. I'm just going to buy it.
Exactly. We have the funds. Why not, right?
I can't make my own content. The Disney Vault is not going to work anymore.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to try this live action thing and see how that works. But then Disney's got how many of these big box office flops in their top 10? Like, they had at least four or five of them, including the number one of all time. And have you noticed it affect them at all? Like, just to speak to how big that company is.
Yeah, no kidding.
Every time you think Amazon or Nike or Sony or some of these companies are gigantic, think about Disney for just a
minute.
Man, that's
crazy.
Something. We're going to get to our news, sports, and partner break. We'll come back and have some fun. We're talking vehicles when we come back. We're going to talk about the cars with the fewest and most issues.
All right.
Coming up on The Morning Show. Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to the show. Hope y'all are having a great Thursday out there. Happy Friday Eve, everybody. Mm-hmm. James and Seth hanging out with you.
Yeah.
Whatever you're doing, maybe bopping around in your vehicle, maybe a good vehicle, maybe your favorite vehicle. Who knows?
You've named and, you know, one of those weird things. God, it's so weird. I know a lot of people do it. It's just weird to me.
Yeah. I get it. I used to think it was weird, too, and then I started doing it. Exactly. No, I can't. I'm just embracing the weird now. J.D. Power has released its 2025 U.S. Vehicle Dependability Study, which analyzed the durability of three-year-old cars from the model year 2022.
Oh, okay, cool.
And Lexus was the top-ranked brand for a third consecutive year.
Wow.
It was followed by Buick, Mazda, Toyota, and Cadillac.
Okay, all right.
Of all 30 brands, Volkswagen ranked last. Chrysler was next worst, followed by Jeep, Audi, and Land Rover.
Hmm. Interesting. Mm-hmm. German makes, which used to be like the gold standard,
right?
Weren't they at one time? All these German cars that were supposed to be the best. I wonder what's going on over there, huh?
Yeah, and interesting. This study reports the highest level of vehicle problems since 2009, but the pandemic plays part of that, too, to keep in mind.
Right, right. We all remember that, right?
You can go to Driver CA if you'd like to find the complete list, Driver CA. I don't know that necessarily this – I don't know how much this necessarily changes anybody's thoughts or anything like that.
Right.
When it comes to going and buying a vehicle – how often do you look at these reports? How often do you? I feel like for a lot of products in life, you're going to look up, hey, what's the best of this?
Right.
Hey, what's the downside of this?
Exactly.
With something that's such an expensive purchase, such a big purchase, and, you know, for 99% of us, a purchase that you're hoping to make once every couple of years, if that longer.
Hopefully, right?
Yeah, hopefully. Yeah. I find it interesting that the people that don't put that much time and thought into it, like, hey, what color is it? You know, I mean, even myself, who overthinks everything, my main goal is, does it have four-wheel drive?
Right, exactly.
Okay, cool, sign me up, you know?
Can I put it on the road? You know? Yeah. Can it get me to point A to point B?
I want to be able to drive on every surface, even ones that aren't real.
I want to drive on rainbows, right?
If I need to drive on the moon, can I?
Yeah, right. In case Mario Kart breaks out somewhere.
Exactly. Drive on. You never know. A tortoise shell just in the middle of the road, I want to be able to know I can get around it. Among the issues cited, Android Auto and Apple CarPlay connectivity were one of the top problems for the second consecutive year, while built-in Bluetooth systems and Wi-Fi were also among the top software defects.
Mm-hmm.
So that's noteworthy if you care about those things. And
right.
I think even more noteworthy if you don't, this may not affect your list at all.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was quite interesting.
Right.
And I'll be honest with everybody. I mentioned that Jeep was one of the lower ranked ones on this list.
Right.
I'm a big Jeep guy, and I'm probably going to have to buy a new vehicle in the next year here.
Right.
And it'll be a Jeep. I'll tell you that right now. It will be. I love the brand.
That's personal preference, right? Yeah.
Exactly. It works for me, and it has all the things that I'm looking for.
Right.
So,
you know, it's funny. You know, usually when I haven't had to buy a car in a while, and I'm very happy about that, actually, because I hate buying cars. But I do know that when I do have to go out and get the next one, this is something I never thought I would have to do. I've actually been looking at lists of cars with the least amount of technology in them, because we are seeing more and more issues with them. And your cars, by the way, are becoming, with all of this, you know, all that we just, what James has talked about, this Kinect stuff, they're recording this. Everything you say and do, this stuff, they make money off of that
because
they can sell it to advertisers, okay? They're doing it. It's really, it sounds kind of weird, but it's true. They can, you know, they can pick up all this stuff. You know, they know what you're listening to. They know the music or podcasts or anything like this. They know all that information when you're doing it in your car, and they, you know, package it and sell it to advertisers. So I'm trying to find something when I do buy it. I don't want any of that stuff in there, but I don't know if I can even do it anymore. Can you even buy a car without that? I don't know.
It's a good question.
Yeah.
Very good question. The gold, diamonds, money, they're all worth a lot. Nothing's worth more in this day and age and going forward than data. data.
100% correct, my friend.
You're so right about this. Mm-hmm. And they're finding more and more ways to collect that data.
Yeah.
That freaks me out, too. Mm-hmm. I'm not comfortable with it either. I am trying to embrace this as best as I can, though. Because mm-hmm. I also understand, well, I'm not going to go buy a cave in the mountains anytime
well,
soon.
Well, absolutely, yeah.
You know, that's, I'm not going to be able I can bark about it, you
You're
know,
not going to go completely off the grid, right? Yeah.
There's certain parts of it, too.
Yep.
But I'll say this as well when it comes to, because you touched on something that you said something there that I hadn't thought about much and everything, my personal preference. Mm-hmm. And it has been since I was probably 15 or 16, Jeeps and all that.
Sure.
But I've always worn, I wore Chuck Taylors as a kid, Adidas, you know, those are my shoes. And I've always worn those brands because growing up, I just knew if you bought a pair of shoes, you had to make them last for a couple of years. Mm. They had to last. So I learned real quickly, these are the ones that are durable. These are the ones that last.
Sure, makes sense.
But I was talking to, and a shout out to my buddy CJ, I was talking to him and a New Balance commercial came on. And I'm like, man, they got Shohei Ohtani for New Balance. Like, wow, that is a get. Like, how did they beat out Nike and Under Armour and all these companies? And he's like, well, man, have you ever tried their shoes? They're so comfortable. Like, what are you talking about? He's like, oh, they're incredibly comfortable. He's like, I wore Nikes my whole life, and I didn't realize how uncomfortable they are. And it got me thinking about it. Like, I don't know if I'm going to go out. I'm going to at least try a pair on.
Why not?
And maybe it's a similar thing with, you know, our vehicles, where it's what we're so used to and what used to be comfortable or cool or whatever it might be, when it turns out, you know, hey, actually, there's something better out there.
Paying for something maybe you didn't realize you were paying for. Maybe it was more of the brand name. Maybe it was more of that sort of thing, right?
J.D. Power noted that while software defects are only 9% of the total problems reported, quote, as vehicles become more software reliant, this risk becomes more prominent.
Yep.
Hybrid vehicles experience the fewest problems of any vehicles at all recorded.
Now, that's interesting. Little note there to keep in your book.
They also reported that they had the fewest tech problems, the fewest engine problems, hybrid vehicles.
Mm-hmm. Hey.
That's very interesting to me.
That's, yes. You know, yep. And that's the good side of the technology that we can see that, we're getting to the point now where that sort of thing is going to be more and more common and probably be the default at some point.
Well, and, you know, unlike certain fads and certain things in life, vehicles are different. There's so many of these that you see this happen all the time. We see it every day. You'll see it today. A vehicle that was popular 5, 10, 20 years ago is still out there.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to see a bug today, probably. You're going to see this today, this style vehicle, an old Monte Carlo maybe or something like that.
Right.
So while these trends may come and go, those vehicles aren't going anywhere.
No.
And when it comes to hybrid vehicles, you know, however we go as a society, those aren't going anywhere. And if you needed proof of this,
no.
The Hummer industry has gone completely green.
Remember that back in the day, you know, the gas-guzzling Hummers? Look at that. How about that?
Even they grew on this one. Like, that says something, man.
Telling you.
I would like to think that we can get to certain places where we just break through on a certain subject.
Yeah.
And I'm really hopeful that as a society, we break through on the subject of, you know, we all live on this rock. And it isn't being a Democrat or a Republican to care about the planet. It isn't being a tree hugger or not. Any of these terms, any of these things. It's about survival. It's about having a future.
Yeah.
You don't plant trees for you to see them grow. You plant them for your kids to see them grow.
Yep. It,
getting back to that.
Right.
If of all the divisiveness in this world, I got to think that this is one of those ones that brings us together. There is no fake news when it comes to the planet. You are a human being. And as you get older, you age. And as you get older, you get closer to the end. That's how time works. Mm-hmm. Why would you think the planet is any different? This is just basic science. This is just the way things work.
Right.
There's nothing PC about that. There's nothing woke about that. There's nothing tree-huggy about that. That's life. That is the most basic fact of all basic facts. Like, how can you not think of that and think that? What? Like, please, 715-424-2600, to please throw it in my face of how I'm wrong. Please, I would love to be corrected on this one. But
James, the world is flat. So,
that's right.
So, you know,
that's
ignore whatever he just said. No,
yeah, and why can't then why can't I just drive from here to Asia, just straight
right,
line?
I'm
just straight line. That doesn't make any sense.
You haven't wanted it.
That's it. That's it. I gotta want it. Back with more show.
Coming home, baby, now. I'm coming home now, right away.
Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR. Seth and James are going to take you to the top of the hour, wrap up the show. Thank you so much for joining us, everybody. Appreciate you all. Best listeners in radio.
Mm-hmm.
A special thank you to all of you for the birthday wishes. I am humbled, and I don't deserve it, and I appreciate it.
Well, you get born. Hey, just take the win, man. You were born.
That's a fair point, actually. You know what?
Yeah. I did. You did.
I do want to take a moment because I know that it is my birthday, but I share this day with many people. Mm-hmm. My mother and father, who were shocked when I decided to pop out a month early.
It's time to come. Here I come.
And I want to send a very special thank you, because just real quick, I know I've rambled about this for 20 years on the air, but I was born very early on a mm-hmm. white couch in the middle of a snowstorm, and my parents were not able to get me to the hospital, so some policemen, firefighters, EMT showed up and delivered me.
Mm-hmm.
None of these individuals had ever delivered a baby before.
And I got a story now.
And I've got a dent in the back of my skull to prove it. But I have it with pride, and mm-hmm. I am extremely thankful to those individuals and everything for, you know, not just
right.
for me, but for what they saved my mother. They kept my mom around.
Mm-hmm.
They did a lot of great work, and it is why every opportunity I get the rest of my life, I am going to shout out these individuals and
right.
these jobs and try to remind everybody of how important they are in our society.
Exactly.
So appreciate everybody out there for the notes. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much. Now we don't have to worry about it again for another year.
Yep,
we don't
you're
have to
done.
Talk about it. We're done.
Don't have to do it anymore.
I do want to take a look at our schedule, though. We got a good one lined up for you. Matt Nair on air coming up. Sounds like it's just Greg doing his
thing. Greg flying solo again, yep.
Be sure to check that
He's
out,
fine.
Everybody. He's good. He's good. 10 to noon today. Let us know if you need us, though, Greg. I'd love to do a
jump
show
on there,
Greg.
Yeah.
Oh,
that would be fun.
That'd be fun. And then we'll have some good stuff for you a little bit later today. Join us for the Maggie Dawn Show from 2 to 4. Maggie mm-hmm. just killing it, doing an amazing job. And she leads us into Midday Magazine, where in part one today, we'll be visiting Rome. Jillian Alekna going to be joining us.
Very nice.
Looking forward to that, and a shout out to Nakusa Port Edward State Bank for sponsoring that segment.
Mm-hmm.
And in part two, Kayla Rumbalski will be with us from UW Extension. We're going to be talking about some cool stuff, the 2025 grant writing basis classes,
ooh.
And some other things that they're doing over there at Extension. That's
very
gonna be a
cool.
Lot of fun. A little bit later today, we've got the Greg Gard Show. Join us at 6:05 for that. That's going to be a good one right here at WFHR.
Mm-hmm.
And make your plans tonight, everybody. I know that a lot of us are going to be watching the Four Nations mashup and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But you can have on in the background on your radio at 7:05, Assumption Girls Basketball hosting Stratford. Randy and Mike on the call for this one.
Mm-hmm.
Laura, I believe, is going to be running the board.
Correct.
She's doing an amazing job with that. And
mm-hmm.
Randy and Mike, you're not going to hear a better tag team.
Yep. And the Assumption girls are having another fantastic season. Hopefully going deep into the playoffs this year. Yep.
Got a number one seed, got a first round bye mm-hmm. in the playoffs. We're going to be covering that and following them and all of our local
teams
throughout the tournament here and everything. Looking forward to it, and have a great call tonight, guys. On Friday, Playmakers we'll have for you from 5 to 6, 7 o'clock right here at WFHR, Wisconsin Hockey hosting Notre Dame. And it's a puck night Friday night, because we got River Kings hockey over on WIRI at 7 o'clock. The puck will drop. River Kings hosting the Dell Ducks Friday, Saturday.
Get final regular season matchup
mm-hmm.
for
get
them.
Get your tickets for that at riverkingshockey.com.
Yep.
Follow the boys' winner as they build hockey up and down the river. Bachelors of Broadway, Gentlemen of Theater, coming to town tonight, 7:30 at the Performing Arts Center. You can still get tickets for it at SavorTheArts.com. Encourage you to do that. Buy local, support local, support the arts, everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And you could be a superhero today. From 10 to 3, go over to McMillan Library and donate blood if you are able. We
yes.
greatly appreciate you doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Again, blood donation opportunity today from 10 to 3 over at McMillan Library, 490 East Grand Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
We also wanted to mention that our friends at Focus have their neighborhood meals available today. These are free meals that are served on Thursdays from 4:30 to 5:45. Dining area opens at 4:15. Marine. Go visit them at 2321 West Grand Avenue right here in Rapids and spread the word about this great thing that they do.
Mm-hmm.
Seth had a couple of other events. A
couple other events
woods.
Coming up this weekend. Yeah, Saturday, the winter market's back open again, everyone, from 9 to 1 over at the Moravian Church, 310 First Avenue South. Go to their Facebook page. You can find out all the vendors who are going to be there this weekend. It's been, you know, been growing every week since they opened it up, and it's been great to see all the people there. So come on down. Free popcorn. Make sure you get some free popcorn while you're there as well.
Good popcorn.
Yeah, exactly. So Walk Off School Dead is having a trivia night. Of course, this is hosted by Grace, the Greater Rapids Area Churches for Ecumenism. This is happening Sunday from 2 to 4 at Two Doors Down Brewing Company, 140 East Grand Avenue. Join them for a fun afternoon of trivia, silent auction items. It's free to play, everyone, but they will be accepting a free will offering. And, of course, these proceeds benefit Southwood County school meal programs. And you can have a couple of pretty, you know, decent MC. See there, you know, famous for their work on WIRI. We got Dottie B and me.
Nice.
We'll be doing the trivia part of that. So come on down, say hi.
Get on down.
It's gonna be
there.
Fun. Yeah. We got some great prizes, by the way. We have some really good stuff that we're giving away. So
and you're making an investment in their future with it. You're helping out these kids be able to do something that every kid should have.
Very important. Walk at graduation. Yep. Mm-hmm.
A woman in Virginia bought a scratcher and was ticketed when the casino gave her the wrong type of lottery ticket. She was angry about it, not ticket. It ticked when she got the wrong type of lottery ticket.
Right.
But she got over it pretty quick after she scratched it off and it was $2 million.
So, yeah. No, you can't be mad anymore, no.
No. And a 94-year-old woman in San Diego named Barbara Rabarro had a pretty cool reunion last month. Back in 61, she found a missing toddler at the bottom of a pool and saved the kid's life. His name is Ben Caldwell and they hadn't seen each other since it happened 64 years ago. He's 66 now and they went and has two kids and they met up and got the rehashed.
Oh, that is so amazing.
That's pretty cool.
What a story.
That's the whole that's a big part of why I want to meet
exactly,
the EMTs and firefighters that deliver me.
Hopefully that'll happen someday for you.
Great show today, man.
You too, man.
Be good to each other out there. We'll talk to you sooner than later right here at...
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.